this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National guard.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here's a strange story from Brazil. A policeman called to arrest a drunk man abusing people in the street stunned everybody because onlookers said that this policeman, who was 36 years old, he found this drunk, belligerent 28-year-old man, and instead of coming up and just subduing him and arresting him, the policeman grabbed the drunk man's head and began muttering Latin. One person there captured the extraordinary incident on his camera phone and told the media, quote, "The drunk began speaking in a weird way, his voice very low, and he looked very strange. He looked like he was turning into a demon. The policeman then shouted, 'Unleash his body, Jesus, out in the name of Jesus.'" And the witness said, quote, "I suddenly realized this policeman was doing an exorcism on the man. It was incredible," end quote. They say the man sank to his knees growling as the policeman kept calling for the devil to get out. And they say at one point it looked as if this man, who actually was possessed, suddenly relaxed. There was a great release. Someone in the crowd said they were going to go get a priest, but it turns out it wasn't necessary. This police officer successfully exorcised this man. The man who was exorcised reportedly thanked the police officer, saying the next day, quote, "I can't remember a thing about last night, but I had not drunk very much at all. It all went blank. I must have been possessed by something. Thank you. Thank you," end quote. I suppose that would be unacceptable here in the United States, but in Brazil, this police officer is being held as a bit of a hero for his extra talent. Thank you for joining us. That's the kind of weird stuff we dig into on this program. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam. How are you?
I'm okay. How about yourself there, big guy? How was Arizona?
Well, I'm still playing catch-up, and I had just a wild 2 weeks bouncing all around Arizona, and I'm going to tell you and everybody else about some of the most outstanding things that I did. Of course, I started off in the area around the Superstition Mountains. And by the way, Sam, have you seen this new program on the History Channel called Legend of the Superstition Mountains?
No, I am enamored with their programming generally. You know, they have some really good shows on there. Have not caught that one.
Yeah. It's they've aired about 4 episodes of it now, and it reminds me a lot of the Oak Island show.
Well, how did that end? I missed, like, the last episode of that.
It's still going on. This season ender, yeah, recently.
You can keep watching the show, and every episode is more or less like the last episode.
Can I just say, like, when I saw in, like, one of the last episodes where it was, like, Jay Rockefeller something, and he had on, like, a safari hat, and he was, like, doing the calm down into the tunnel, I was like, I bet Josh hates that guy.
the synopsis of every show is digging a hole deeper.
No, and how many times do they go over? It's like, 48 years ago, he thought he saw a box.
Yeah.
But it's a good show.
It is a good show. I love that show.
And so this show called Legend of the Superstition Mountains is trying to sort of tap into that same audience, because the Superstition Mountains is where you have supposedly hidden the Lost Dutchman Mine, which is the oldest and most famous – well, let me put it this way. It's the most famous and perhaps infamous lost gold mine ever in American history, and they say that there may be $200 million or more worth of gold in this mine, and so you have this small crew of dudes who are out there looking for it. Speaking of gold, that voice that you just heard on these airwaves of investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, do you know anything about the Lost Dutchman's gold mine?
No, tell me more.
Well, apparently, you know, the story goes, and I started reading about this when I was just a little kid. Apparently, there was a guy in the late 1800s, I forget his name, Waltz, might have been Joseph Waltz, who was a German who came to America. And back in those days, it was common for Americans to call Germans Dutch. And that's because that, of course, the Germans called themselves Deutsch. Mm. And so that just became Dutch. So this guy was actually a German. And he came to the Superstition Mountains, which are kind of southeast from Phoenix, Arizona. And he found this mine. I don't think he was the first person who found it. There was an earlier family that had located it, but somehow, you know, he got access to this mine and was very successful at keeping it a secret throughout his whole life. I mean, he had plenty of gold that he was distributing around the area, so there's no doubt he found something. And right before he died, he gave some clues about the location of this mine to this woman who was caring for him. And so, of course, those clues have been followed up on by many, many people. And so this History Channel endeavor is just the latest to follow a group of guys who are out there, you know, looking for the mine. I think it's almost impossible to think that after hundreds of years, this, you know, a History Channel crew is going to waltz out there and find these things. But nonetheless, that's what the show is about. So I started my journey in Arizona around the Superstition Mountains there. And then, of course, you know, I spoke at the International UFO Congress. Tonight, I'm going to tell you what it was like to actually sit there in person in front of Bob Lazar and hear him talk about the things he saw at Area 51. Now, for people who don't know exactly who Bob Lazar is, probably the reason that you know the term Area 51 is because Bob Lazar came forth as a whistleblower in the early 90s saying that he worked there. And this event I went to and spoke at was the very first event in all these years that Bob Lazar has ever gone to and sat down and talked live at. So here I am just, a few rows into the audience, and it was really fascinating to hear what this guy had to say. I found him quite believable. I'm going to tell you what he said he actually saw there. Also, I'm going to tell you some about my experience hiking to a vortex in Sedona and what I actually found, what actually happened to me at the vortex, because there are lots of different theories about what vortexes are and what occur there. And in Flagstaff, Arizona, I spent an evening at the Lowell Observatory. The Lowell Observatory is the place where they discovered Pluto, and they also discovered that the universe is expanding. As a matter of fact, the Lowell Observatory was called by Time magazine in 2011, quote, one of the world's 100 most important places, end quote. And so I was able to spend the evening with astronomers there, putting my eyeball right up to, you know, viewfinders and looking directly at things in outer space. And it wasn't like, you know, there was a huge group of people. There were probably about, you know, five or six of us who were doing this. And I'm going to tell you not only about what it was like to go to this, you know, world famous observatory and spend an evening with these astronomers, but they shared something very controversial with me about astrology. And it'll be kind of unsettling at first to some of you, but I'm going to explain that also on tonight's show, as well as just a lot of other crazy stuff that I got into. So, Sam, in short, I had a pretty wild time in Arizona, and I'm going to share my kind of travel log on the program this evening.
All right. I mean, so maybe we'll hear a story of a UFO encounter out there in Sedona. Maybe?
Absolutely. Perhaps? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, Arizona is one of these mystical places on a number of levels. You've got not only the Sedona vortex energy, but you have all of this sort of like violent activity that's happened with pioneers fighting with Indians. You have people talking about portals. You have all kinds of UFOs. I mean, the Phoenix Lights were one of the best documented UFO incidents, or was one of the best documented UFO incidents in all history. It happened in 1997, I think. Thousands of people around the Phoenix area, they saw this gigantic sort of triangular formation of lights float over the city. Even the governor at that time, Fife Symington, he saw it. He didn't admit it at the time, but after he got out of office, he did. And he had a history as a military pilot. So that was a big incident. And apparently they've been seeing even more similar stuff recently around Phoenix. And then you have the fact that a lot of people believe that the Superstition Mountains and that area in general are a portal, and that has something to do with the gold that's found there. So there's a lot of weird, weird, weird stuff in Arizona, and we're going to dig into that tonight. And when we come back, I've got some pretty strange stories that I want to share with you. A lot's been happening in the news. In fact, speaking of astronomy and bodies in space, there's a new story out about what comets actually are. I'm going to tell you what NASA has discovered when we come back. And let's see. I have another fascinating story for you that also relates to things seen in space. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. We're coming at you tonight. Well, I'm in Puerto Rico. The show's being broadcast from Asheville, but it's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
Get down.
show. Hitchhiking the ET Highway and broadcasting from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. And tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. Investigator Shelley Wright, how have you been holding up through this winter?
Pretty good. We had a few snow days at the shop, but that was all right. We're back to normal and crazy busy. We've all been eating very late, cold lunches because we've had so many people in there. It's great.
Well, that makes sense. People want to get out of the cold, and they go to Wright's Coin Shop.
They do. We're the happy place.
All right. Well, let me get back to some of the news stories because there's plenty to sort of catch up on. Since I have I've been away for a while, and it's been a strange time. People are really telling me that they're feeling like the dimensions are closer than ever for some reason right now, whatever that means. Maybe we all have our head in the clouds a bit, but astronomers have long known that comets are cosmic snowballs with a soft interior and a hard surface. But just recently, NASA has come out with this new report saying that the exact composition of how this forms has been a mystery until now. At the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, they mixed together ice and organic dust to simulate how a comet forms. And they found that the crunchy comet crust is much like something very decadent and delicious. In fact, one principal scientist said, quote, a comet is like deep-fried ice cream.
Mm.
Says the crust is made of crystalline ice, while the interior is colder and more porous. The organics are like a final layer of chocolate on top, end quote. So now a comet seems much more appealing than ever, doesn't it?
I haven't eaten dinner either, so
You're making him really hungry.
I can hear some, you know, paper crunching around in the background there.
I'm doing so. I haven't had a chance to do my standard stuff, anything today, so I'm just doing some stuff. This guy's just
You're either rolling a joint or having a little Debbie.
Both.
And probably both. Yeah, that's more like it. the two go hand in hand. They should sell them in a kit.
This is a little off the topic, but I saw a thing today. It was debunking Twinkies lasting a nuclear holocaust.
Really?
Yeah, it says the actual shelf life of a Twinkie is a month and a half.
Really?
I don't know. I don't eat Twinkies. But just saying. I read it on the Internet. It's got to be true.
Huh.
Month and a half. Well, that's a big difference, isn't it?
Maybe you should get your crack investigative team working on the Twinkie issue.
Sounds like you might be heading in that direction. Well, you know, when I was flying from Puerto Rico to Arizona and back, I had a pretty rough time with my airplane flights. As a matter of fact, from San Juan to Phoenix, Arizona is over 3,000 miles. So it's like flying completely across the country as it is. And then on top of that, you add airplane problems. So I was supposed to fly out of San Juan, but when I got there, we were told that the flight was canceled because they didn't have a crew available to fly the damn airplane.
How far are you from San Juan?
3-hour drive.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
didn't take your mugwort. Did you?
No, I didn't.
You did. See, he forgets the mugwort, and then he has all kinds of plane issues. Terrible travel things happen.
Yeah, nobody to fly the plane. So I stayed there in San Juan overnight and flew out the next day. And anyway, the reason I bring this up is that I ended up going through Miami to Phoenix, and then on the way back it was even worse because they had me set up to go from Phoenix through Dallas, but that just so happened to be, you know, like the one day of the year when even Dallas, Texas got snow, pretty much a blizzard by their standards. And so I had to be rerouted back through Miami But it was one of those deals where I got into Miami about 10 o'clock at night, and I guess everybody else in the country was also being routed through Miami. And they had, there was not a motel room available within 50 miles.
I think there was also a rather large music festival going on down there, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Well, there was no way I was going to. So I didn't get a room. I've never had to literally, spend the night at an airport before, but I did this time. Even though I did, there was a nearby casino, so I figured I'll spend a little time, part of my night at the casino. That'll be more fun. Here I was popping in and out of Miami, and which is not all that far from Fort Lauderdale. And here is the story.
Yeah, we've talked about Fort Lauderdale.
And it says here, according to the AP, postcards arriving at the Broward County Jail in Fort Lauderdale contained more than just drawings and text. Federal prosecutors say the postcards were laced with a hallucinogenic drug similar to LSD. Ooh. And inmates paid $10 for a tiny piece of each postcard, which they just put into their mouths to absorb the drug. Two inmates pleaded guilty last week to federal drug charges. Authorities say a third man who was on the outside, a 56-year-old, has pleaded not guilty to possessing and distributing the drug. So prosecutors say they've arrested a number of other people related to this. They began investigating this on a tip from an inmate who had repeatedly felt funny after he handled the mail in the jail mailroom and had started hallucinating.
Can you imagine anything worse than, eating bunk prison acid and being in prison?
Ew.
That's, the worst drug experience ever.
That really does seem horrible.
Drink some Pruno to come down.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, when you read stuff like this, it makes you think, I wonder why that's not even more prevalent. Because I can see a lot of people doing whatever they can in prison just to get into a different state of mind. And it does seem like an easy way to get a drug into prison. Huh?
Yeah, and it's you can get whatever drug you would like. It's just an extremely high, price. I'd actually read a very interesting article. I believe this was in Canada, where I would assume the prisons might be slightly better than here. But it was people who were getting arrested intentionally because they could make so much more money in prison than they could make outside. Because in there, a thumb-sized thing worth of tobacco, it goes for $40-$50 for a couple of cigarettes worth of tobacco.
Good grief.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's a sad world we live in some ways,
isn't it? The industrialized prison state, Josh!
Yep. Well, Shelley, here's a question for you. ABC News said that armed robbers stole $4 million in gold from a truck. And it says that these guys were traveling from Miami to Attleboro, Massachusetts, along I-95. And they pulled over in eastern North Carolina after experiencing some mechanical problems. Let's see. I'm not sure if they – they still have not found these guys. Has this been any news at Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley?
No, it hasn't. I actually ran across that article last night, and I thought, wait a minute, I hadn't heard anything about this. Nobody's
– on the Wright's Coin Shop teletype?
I know. People have been laying down on the job. I had not heard about this.
It says here, during the heist – they took gold and silver estimated to be worth more than $4 million. And right now the company is offering a $50,000 reward for information that leads to an arrest or recovery of the stolen property. So, Shelley, we're coming up on a break here, but quickly, how do you think these guys would try to get rid of something like that?
Oh, my.
Smelt it.
Yeah. No.
You can't smelt?
Well, you could, but you don't want to.
You probably have a crucible at home.
Yeah, I think she does. Okay, we're going to take a break. And you know what? We've been missing out on the Florida bell because we have so many Florida stories. We may as well get it going because this next story, when I come back, is also from Florida, and it's about another type of theft something that might seem a little bit closer to home for all of you listening to the show. This is the program where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound history.
Best of times, they're the only times I've ever known. And I believe there is a time for meditation in cathedrals of our own. Now I have seen that sad surrender in my lover's eyes, and I can only stand apart and sympathize. For we are always what our situations hand us. See the sadness or euphoria. So we'll argue and we'll compromise and realize that nothing's ever changed. Separate conclusions are the same. Now we are forced to recognize our inhumanity. Our reason coexists with our insanity. And though we choose between reality and madness, it's either sadness or euphoria.
Yet, Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Move all your illegal bullion right from the arm truck straight into Wright's Coin Shop.
Don't listen to that. No. Do not bring me anything illegal.
I thought you were getting tea.
I was getting tea. And I would have been longer, but they didn't have any honey in the break room.
As Sam said, he who dealt it, smelt it.
Smelt it, and, dealt it.
in this case, dealt it, smelt it. Somebody just comes in rolling a few bowling balls of gold. Wright's Coin Shop will help you with all of your above board, completely legal gold and silver business.
Yes.
What if you find pirate treasure, Shelley? Will you deal with that?
I will deal with pirate treasure. Yes, we will. Okay. We will figure.
You heard it here first,
folks.
We will
figure something out.
What if I dig up a dead man and pull his gold teeth out and dump them on your counter? Will that work?
Oh my gosh! When I first started working at the coin shop, this has been like 14 years ago. We were at the old location. This little lady came in and she had this little tiny prescription bottle, you know, and she opens it up and all these teeth fall out on my counter. And, they were filled with gold fillings. And, that was back when we did that sort of thing. And you have to beat the teeth out, you know, and it's pretty gross. And you just kind of take a step back. I think I just called for my dad. Dad, could you come here and help me for a minute? Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, if you want to go visit Wright's Coin Shop, you can go to WrightsCoinShop.com. Better yet, just go to SpeakingOfStrange.com. and you'll find a link to Rights. And you'll also find a live chat during the program tonight. You'll find podcasts there, past programs, and links to other things, topics we talk about, and stuff like the haunted Asheville ghost tours and ghost hunts that are also going on right now. Even if it's cold, you can go take a ghost hunt. All that stuff and more is at speakingofstrange.com. Well, speaking of people stealing things, particularly monetary direct coinage, here's a story from, are we ready, guys, North Naples. There's a lot of Florida stories tonight. In this case, headline is, thieves steal $18,000 worth of nickels.
Wow, how many does that go?
Nickels?
Apparently, they say $18,000 worth of nickels weighs about 1 ton.
Yeah, but it's not silver.
If they were pre-1940 whatever in Buffalo.
If they're... more nickels. There's some silver in there, but
now you're changing your story, Shelley.
Now nickels, really?
It's probably genius. Nobody's tracing nickels.
Well, right? Who wants nickels?
It says investigators said 183 boxes filled with bankrolls of nickels were stolen during a house party held in a gated community. The 5-cent coins were stored in blue and white boxes that were the size of large bricks. We're talking about 360,000 nickels. You know, let me pause for a minute because it seems like somewhere I was reading that nickels are a great investment.
I don't know where you got that idea, but just get it out of your head right now.
Well, but you have to do it in mass. Like, this may have been some rich guy who was just buying. Well, obviously, somebody, you know, has that kind of money to just throw around on their nickel supply.
Somebody just happened to have all those nickels and were trying to unload them and told somebody that it was this fabulous investment. Maybe it was a telemarketer. Maybe, perhaps, that happens quite a bit, which is why you should come someplace reputable, like Wright's Coin Shop, so you don't get bad advice like that.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think it was either nickels or dimes. But anyway, this something I was reading said if you get a bunch of nickels and hang on to them, that you can always, at worst case scenario, trade them in at face value and get your money back. But apparently nickels are going to go up a little bit over time because they're going to change the way that they make them. Does that ring any kind of bell?
Okay, let me just tell you, do not hold your breath, okay? All right? You do not start hoarding nickels. My goodness, there are much better things to put your money in that will make you money. It was like the state headquarter thing. Everybody thought they were going to make a fortune by putting up all these rolls of state headquarters. And they made enough for every man, woman, child, and domestic animal. So that was not such a good idea. If you were to bring something like that into the shop, we would say, take it to the bank.
Well, you know, they're saying that here in Florida, police are asking local banks and businesses with coin counting machines to report anyone who attempts to change an exceptionally large amount of nickels into larger bills. So there's an APB out on people with nickels in Naples.
That's why I've got like a bag of change in my man bag right now to take to the change dispenser. Had nothing to do with that heist, but I emptied the piggy bank last night.
Yeah.
A lot of nickels in there.
Well, I mean, you get estates, and people bring in stuff, and they're like, oh, you know, such and such, they bought everything that they thought, and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, just take it to the bank. It's not going to be worth anything. Just take it to the bank. Get the money now. Put it in something else.
I think the smartest people out there are the Coinstar people.
Oh, that's a great racket.
But here's the thing, though. The Coinstar machines are different than the old machines used to be. So now you can't, you can't accidentally get silver coinage in Coinstar machines. Those machines just spit them out.
But you don't, they don't spit anything out. You deposit them in.
No. Silver has a different, it's got a different weight to it. It's totally different. So if you have, like, silver quarters, silver dimes, something like that, the Coinstar machine will not accept them.
Yeah, so they'll just fall through.
No. Well, they don't accept, yeah, they don't go through. They spit them out. They don't actually.
Well, I mean, that's good for the person. I mean, like, though, the racket would be in, if you want cash back, it's 10% or 11%.
Exactly. Yeah,
unless you get an Amazon gift card.
Well, the point is that if you are a vendor and you are accepting change, you can't, you know, somebody accidentally, you know, tries to put in silver coins. It used to be, you know, that they would just go in there and you would, you know, your money would be worth more than you thought it was. Now you can't. It doesn't happen that way. You only get the coins that aren't worth anything but face value, which sucks.
I wish I had about 100 Coinstar machines in grocery stores across the country, because talk about some easy money.
Well, why don't you offer those on speakingofstrange.com? A solar-powered Coinstar machine.
Like a home Coinstar type, like a home coin counter?
That was your producer giving you a nice segue, is what it was.
You would not believe the people that come into the shop, and they want some kind of a coin counter. They want some easy way to count their money and you know, so they can take it to the bank. They don't.
Well, you know what's ironic, don't you? We sell a machine called the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator.
There you go.
For the home. Do you know how easily we could adapt this into a solar-powered coin counter literally cost you not one volt of electricity?
Do it!
Now you're winning on every level.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, a total free coin counting system. It only costs like $5,000 to get your box. No, I'm kidding, of course.
And you're not going to accept payment in nickels.
Well, I think nickels are a great investment, Shelly.
You are smoking crack.
No, I don't have to invest in things. I just swim around in the sea and reach down into the silt and pluck jewels and treasure and gold up.
Did you ever get that appraised?
No, I haven't had it appraised, but I did take it with me to Arizona, and when I gave my wishing machine workshop, which went later on in hour two when I tell you about my trip to Arizona, I want to tell you what happened during that workshop. I did bring the ring with me, and I let people handle it and even put it on, and you know, it brought the reality home that, you know, this is something that can happen to you. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we may as well stick with the trend of theft that's happening. This time we are going to, let's see, it looks to me like this is a Texas bandit, and I'll tell you what's been on his mind. They say he's very smart, but he didn't steal coins. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year. Check it out, Joe.
Singers.
song. Hey, wanna buy some skates, Nina? Now, did you ever rap that thing, Jackie? It's a reference to the beat.
After in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And listen now, next hour, I'm going to tell you all about the 2 weeks that I just spent traveling around the mystical land of Arizona and some of the things that I got the opportunity to do. I got to sit right there in front of Bob Lazar as he, for the first time ever, sat in front of an audience and talked about what he was shown when he worked at Area 51. Heck, I even stood right there with Travis Walton. You know who Travis Walton is, right, Sam?
Give me a hint.
Well, you know the movie Fire in the Sky.
Okay.
No, that didn't do it. Okay, Shelley, have you seen Fire in the Sky?
Shelley.
Huh? What?
She was.
Have you seen the movie Fire in the Sky?
You know, I think I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure, if not the whole thing.
So Walton, who's the Walton fella?
Travis Walton was the man abducted by aliens.
Yes.
And it's portrayed in the movie Fire in the Sky. Travis Walton was there. And so I was, you know, I can't say that I met Travis Walton. I mean, I was standing right next to him on a number of occasions, but I didn't know what we had to talk about exactly. I mean, I didn't want to turn to him and be like, hey, remember that time you got abducted by aliens? That was awesome, man. He has stories out there. You know, I've read his book, and it's, you know, I've seen the movie. So I didn't actually, like, grab a hold of him and shake his hand. There was no need to. But it was interesting to see a man right there, to stand literally 6 inches away from a guy who says that, you know, he was sucked up into an alien ship. But anyway, I'm going to talk about, you know, that kind of stuff at the UFO Congress. I'm going to tell you about going to investigate a vortex, quote-unquote vortex, in Sedona. I'm going to tell you about going to the Lowell Observatory, where Pluto was discovered, where the expanding universe was discovered, and some of the astrological stuff that I learned about there, which all of you, I assure you, all of you will find interesting, especially you, Shelley. You're especially going to be interested in this. Just a lot of interesting stuff about Arizona we'll get into next hour. But getting back to a few last news stories for this hour, we've been talking about people stealing gold, silver, nickels. Well, they say Texas has a beef with the so-called brisket bandit. That's right. In his latest heist, an unidentified man with a meaty moniker stole 13 smoked briskets and 10 cases of beer. They say here the brisket bandit has allegedly hit 3 other area restaurants over the past few months, pilfering hundreds of dollars worth of briskets and pork products. I'm not sure what part of Texas we're dealing with here. I don't think the story has spelled this out. Recently, however, the perp was caught on camera. Security footage shows a man in a white hat rifling through the smokehouse, then loading the meat and beer into a white van. And the owner there says, obviously, this guy has good taste, just no budget, because he only took our very best. Police are reporting that they're looking for this thief who may have stolen 12 pork butts at the smoke shack, 200 pounds of brisket from B&B Smokehouse, and 450 pounds of raw meat from Two Brothers Meat Market over the last 45 days. So this is a guy who knows his meat. It's probably going to be one of those things like, you know, they have an APB out, you know, If you see anybody with a large volume of nickels going to cash them in.
Trying to buy lots of meat with lots of nickels.
In this case, it's going to be kind of like if a man is having a delicious cookout at his house and he's providing so much fantastic, superb, class A meat.
Grade A.
Beyond his. See, I could never be the brisket bandit. I don't have enough.
Rule you out.
Taste. You know, I'm not the brisket bandit. If he's having meat that's beyond his means.
I was surprised that's not one of your monikers. The Wizard of Weird. The Brisket Bandit.
The Master of Meats.
That's me, maybe. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah, we came up with something similar for you recently, didn't we, Sam the Animal?
We can't say on air, though.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will dig into the mysteries of the high desert out there in the wild and mystical interdimensional lands of Arizona. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.